Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Good evening.
Here I am.
Well, good evening, listeners. It's Wednesday night again. I had some music that I was playing, and I was caught up in the songs, and I didn't realize that I was on the air. But I'm with you right now, and I'm glad and I'm elated that God allowed us one more time to be together. As always, I'm your host, Diane Adams, and I pray that you had a good week and that everything that you wanted to achieve happened through the grace of God. I want to thank you all for coming again tonight to so that we can explore the Word of God together. And as always, if someone would like to go to the throne of grace in our behalf, you know, you could press the one button on the phone and I'll bring you in the studio and you could pray at the altar for all of us. But I want you to know that God is able, God is willing, and God has a desire to honor the things that you want and the things that you need. But you have to trust him. You have to believe in faith. And then you have to be patient and wait on the Lord. Well, tonight our topic is going to be for those who have their Bible. If you go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 13, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 13, in the book of 1 Corinthians. And the lesson we're going to, topic I'm going to talk about tonight is learn from the mistakes of others. Learn from the mistakes of others. If anyone would like to pray at this time, you may press the button or I'll go in into prayer, and then we'll go on into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have allowed all of us to come together in assembly and assemble ourselves before you to have Wednesday night Bible study, dear God. Thank you for affording us the privilege week after week to come together. Lord, because of that, I say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us your mercy and your grace throughout the week, dear God, that allowed us to be here again tonight. Lord, I thank you for your power and I thank you for your strength that you are enabling us to be who we are. Heavenly Father, I pray that each person that came on tonight received something from the word that you're going to teach them through me, dear God. Allow them to have something to hold on to, dear God, and don't let your word return void, dear God, and let it be a word that they could hear and want to use in their life, dear God, because time is running out. Lord, we have to take the things of God serious, and we have to believe that God is not a God that can't show his wrath, but because of his love for us, dear God, he holds back. Because he's full of mercy. Lord, let us line ourselves up with the word of God and let us do the things that we know we should do. Heavenly Father, I believe that every one of us know right from wrong, dear God, and every one of us know some things that are right but that we're not doing in our lives, dear God. Help us in these areas, dear God, so that we may grow and become perfect through your word. Heavenly Father, teach us and mold us and shape us, dear God, because you have an intended purpose for us. Lord, you said in Jeremiah 29:11 that you know the thoughts that you have towards us. No thoughts of evil, dear God, but thoughts of good and to give us an expected end. Lord, when you created us, you had in mind, as the scripture tells us, what you wanted the end results to be. But, Lord, the only way that you could accomplish it, we realize that we have to cooperate. We have to submit ourselves and be obedient to what the word is telling us. Lord, I pray that everybody that's listening for the blessings that they may be coming to you for, dear God, that they receive them. Lord, I ask that you pray for the people who, I ask that you grant the prayers of the people that have asked us for prayers in the past, dear God, and as we close out tonight, we will go to the throne of grace with some other people that they may give us the names. Help us, dear God. Guide us and protect us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and thank God. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson tonight. But before I get into the lesson, I want to remind everybody that I will not be on the air on next Wednesday and probably the Wednesday after that. I think that's the 15th because that's the day I'm supposed to be returning from Washington, D.C. with my surgery on that day. So I don't know if I'll be able to do the lesson that night, but the Wednesday after that, if it's the Lord's will and if God says the same, I will definitely be back, you know, with you guys, and we could explore the word of God some more. So we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson. It's 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse. As always, we have some introduction or some background or something about it. So tonight I just want to let you know again that the book was written by Paul. I'm sure y'all know a lot about Paul now, and it's a good thing. As he identifies himself in the first chapter. You see, the Corinthians were the people that lived in Corinth. Everything written in the Bible was written by man, but inspired by God. You know, there's a lot of people say they don't believe the Bible because man wrote it, and how you know man didn't lie and make things up. Yes, it was written by man, but everything was inspired by God. And if you trust God for some things, you trust him for all things, and you think he's going to give you a word, the Bible, a whole daily instruction for daily living, and he's going to let it not be true. The Bible is God talking to man. It is a book of divine instructions, a life manual designed by God for his creation for daily living. You know, anytime somebody makes something, they give a manual with it. You know, your cars come with manuals. You know, if you're putting something together, you got instructions and you got manuals. The reason the creator of these things, and I ain't going to call them creators because no one could create but God. God created. When you create, you have to make something from nothing. But man invents because he takes the things that God has created and he sometimes put two or three of them together and make an invention. But even man with his inventions inventions. I'm not going to say creation because he can't create. What he does is give a manual. When there's a manual given, it's so that you could use it and you could understand the product. And if you follow the instructions that's given in the manual, that whatever it is can reach its highest potential, and it could perform with the highest performance, and it could give a return on what is expected for it to produce. The Bible and God is the same. It's the same thing. God's life manual, designed by God for his creation, everything he created for daily living, for daily living. You see, no matter what the question is, the Bible has the answer. You see, the Bible offers comfort and sorrow, guidance and perplexity, advice for your problems, rebuke for your sins, and daily inspiration for our every need. As we explore the writing of Paul, we should ask the question, and I ask you guys to do this all the time when you read, why God inspired Paul, because earlier I said that it is written by man, but it's inspired by God. So Paul was the man that God chose to write 1 Corinthians. And so you would ask yourself, why God inspired Paul to write this book? And what is God saying to me? With that in mind, when we go into the lesson, let's open up our mind and hear what God is saying to us. The Apostle Paul formed the church in Corinth. A few years after leaving the church, see, Paul would go around and he started the church in Corinth, and because his Christian and missionary journey, he would go around to other churches, or he would go to establish different churches, and he would do this. He established the church in Corinth, and he left. And a few years after leaving the church, the Apostle Paul heard some disturbing reports about the Corinthian church. They were full of pride. They was excusing sexual immorality. The spiritual gift that was granted to them by the Holy Ghost had been being used improperly. And there was rampant misunderstanding of key Christian doctrine. Now, this sounds like the church today. Sound like the people today. Because you got to realize there's nothing new under the sun. You know, we could look at some of the things that's going on around us and we think that is so horrible and it's the most terrible things. But if you read your Bible, you'll see that whatever has happened before. The Apostle Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians in an attempt to restore the Corinthian church to its foundation, which is Jesus Christ. You know, look like we all have to come back to Jesus Christ. We go in all kind of ways. We doing all kind of things. You know, we add into it, and the Bible say don't add or subtract anything from it. We doing and using what we are comfortable with, and we ignoring the things that we don't want to deal with for whatever reason. And everybody have to question them on themselves in reference to that. And, you know, I say it all the time. I believe everything from Genesis to Revelation, because if God inspired man to write it, I believe it. But I believe it, but I could talk about myself. I haven't been able to achieve it. But I believe it because God said it. And that's why I'm pressing for the mark to try to become better and better every day. We all under construction. God is not through with any of us yet. And nobody has reached the pinnacle of perfection. Because if you would, or if you could, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. If one man could have saved himself or been good enough at all times and all places and all things, then everybody would have to do it the same way. But because God knew that one, there was no one able to do it, so God sent his son. because he loved us so much. He wanted us to be with him in eternity. He wanted his people to be saved, so he made a way. That's why they say, should any man boast? God made the way. God sent his son for us because we couldn't achieve it in and of ourselves. You see, so tonight when we explore the 10th chapter in the first book of Corinthians, this chapter is called An Example of Warnings to Israel. In this chapter, Paul uses the story of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years to illustrate to the Corinthian believers the misuse of freedom and the danger of being overconfident. Do you know anybody overconfidence that, you know, they got it all right and they could point fingers at people all day and things that people do, they think it's so appalling because they don't do that, but if the truth be told, they might have did it before. You see, they were being, you know, they had gotten overconfidence and God had then delivered them from Egypt. And they was free, and God was supplying all their needs, but they misused their freedom. And we have to be careful about that in our lives because some of us know we're not doing what we need to do. But because God is allowing us chance after chance after chance, and you know, you say, you know, you keep waking up and you keep doing what you do and ain't nothing happened to you. You know, you sometimes, you know, get a little confused and think that's the way it's going to be forever. But God ain't no joke. You know, if you look in the Bible, and as we're going to see some things tonight, yes, God is a God of a second chance, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. Yes, God is patient with his children. But God will show his wrath and anger upon people when he feel enough is enough. You see, Paul had just warned the Corinthians about their lack of self-discipline. God dwelt among the people in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he lives inside of his people, which is his spirit and his son. He goes on to describe the Israelites who, despite seeing God, miracles and how he cared for them. Now y'all remember the story when they was in the wilderness wandering. The shoes they had on never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. You know, they among God among them, and he's doing all of this. You know, he gave them mammon from the sky, and he gave them quail when they got tired of eating the bread, and when they was thirsty, he let Moses and hit the rock, and then they had water, and they was with God. God was with them, and they were seeing God do all of this, and still they was acting like knuckleheads. You know, a lot of people I know these days, they'll tell me, "Oh, Diane, you know, if I don't see how them people could have did that, because if I had seen Jesus walk on water, if I seen Jesus heal the lady with the issue of blood, you know, I would get it right. I can't see how they was with Jesus and how God dwelt among them, and yet they didn't do right. But you got to remember, we were born with a sin nature because of what Adam did. And we live in the flesh until Jesus come back. And as long as you wrapped up in this flesh, you have a sin nature, and flesh is going to crave the things of the flesh. Flesh is going to want to do its thing. And one of the things we have to do is put our flesh under submission, but it's a hard thing to do all the time. You see, despite them seeing God do all of these miracles and how much he cared for them by feeding them and clothing them and all of that, you know, and when it seemed like there was no way out from him delivering them from Egypt, there was no way out because they got to the river, to the sea. God divided the sea. He divided it. when they back us against the wall and they say, Lord, why you didn't let us die in Egypt? Why you bring us out here? They were even, you know, smart enough to ask Moses, well, Moses, what, they didn't have no graves in Egypt? You want to bring us out to the wilderness to die? You could have left us be in Egypt. If this the case, what are we going to do now? We up against the wall. That's the water, the people behind us trying to get us. God told Moses, hold up your wrath, your rod, and the sea parted. You know, there are many examples in the Bible to show us what to do or what not to do. If we use the word of God as our guide and learn from the many examples given, we would then learn from the others' mistakes or successes, and we could receive their good or bad consequences and then save ourselves. You know, I'm using this in a biblical sense tonight, but let's think about it. If we learn from the mistakes of others, there's people that's out here, and I'll use it as an example, that sell drugs. Now, we all know that they say that when you sell drugs, there's certain things, two or three things, I don't remember, like that, could happen. One, you go to jail. Two, you die. And three, if you make it, you're going to still be broke because, you know, that kind of money don't last long. But yet they have new drug dealers popping up every day, and they believe that they could do it better than the other person did it. But if you learn from the mistakes of others, you know, you might say, that don't look like nothing real cool to do because I don't know too many came out of this right, you know? If you're a man and you have a child and you don't accept that as your child, so you don't do nothing for the child, you know, you are absent father, you know. But if you look at it and you look at all of the absent fathers there, oh, you see nothing don't come out of that. And then sometimes these children grow up to be wonderful people and you wish you would have been there. Learn from the mistakes of others, you know. And I could go on and on, and I guess you can too, but just think of some things that if you learn, or think about some of your mistakes you made. You had already saw the handwriting on the wall, but yet you did it. You know, most of the things we start to do in our lives that we have no business doing it, that's going to cause us pain, you know, it had already caused somebody else pain. And yet we did it anyway. But Paul is telling them tonight, learn from the mistakes of others. And he's using the Israelites for the example. You see, the Bible teaches us we will reap what we sow. You can only get what you're willing to give. And after all of this happened, after they got the big head, misused their freedom, and did it any kind of way they wanted to do, God still delivered them through the storms. And that should be some consolation for us. God said he'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. He said, I'm always present. He said, but you got to believe me, and you got to trust me. Because, you see, many times God is truly blessing us, but we are so busy looking at what we don't have, we don't recognize what we have. And we can't see the blessings. It's almost like when they say that analogy, you can't see the forest for the trees. You see, we got to thank God for what we have and trust him for what we need and go on in Jesus' name. And God say, I'll work it out for you. It's in the word. So we go to 1 Corinthians. Now watch this. The first verse said, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers, he's talking about our forefathers, you know, in the wilderness and Moses and all of them, were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. If you're looking at your Bible, that might not seem like much to you. But what he's this is Paul writing, and he's writing to the Corinthians, and he's letting them, he's using the Israelites as an example for them to realize and look at what to do or what not to do. And he said, after all our fathers was under the cloud and all passed through the sea. You see, if you know the story, when they was in the wilderness, God led them by a cloud. And that's when he told them, when they see the cloud, you move. I don't want to get it mixed up, but he led them by cloud and he led them by fire. And one was when you see it, that's when you move. And when the other one come up, that's when you stop. He was actually directing them. He was the thing we use for in our call for the directions. He was actually there. You know what I'm talking about, the thing being a call that you call and get the directions. He was doing that with a cloud. And then he say all of them passed through the sea when their back was up against the wall. That's what Paul's saying. You remember he led them by the cloud and he parted the Red Sea. And the second verse say, and were all baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What he's saying? He say Jesus, you know, we are baptized in Jesus. Back then they wasn't physically baptized, but Moses was their Savior, like Jesus is our Savior, because he saved them from slavery. He saved them from the enemy. He kept on saving them. And a salvation means to be saved and rescued and delivered and taken away from danger. You know, that's salvation. So we have to remember that. So he was saying Moses was doing that for them. Whenever they needed something, Moses was providing it. He said, and did all eat the street from the spiritual meat and drink from the spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock is Jesus. What Paul is saying right there, he said, let me just tell you this. No matter what it is, no matter if it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, before the Testament, because before the foundation of the world, everything pointed to Jesus. And we have to remember that. The rock was Jesus. The rock that he had, that he represented and gave them water, you know, it represented Jesus. You have to put these analogies to know when God is saying something and it points to Jesus, what it means. You see, and then number five, they say, with many of them, God was not pleased. After all of this, he's saying, I led them by a cloud, I parted the sea, you know, I gave them Moses, they ate and they drank, and it was merry, and they did all of this, and they act like fools, but with many of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. That's the scriptures 1-5. And 6 says, now these things were our example. Paul is not going to give us example. It's amazing he using the Old Testament in a New Testament writing. You know, Paul wasn't in the Old Testament, and Paul is teaching the Corinthians of that day. But I could tell you now, Paul could come right here, right now, and use them same examples for us living in a world right now. But he was giving that information to the Corinthians at that time, but using the Old Testament. For example, because the 6th verse said, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So he's telling you, as the Israelites back in the wilderness lusted and made all the mistakes, don't you do it. So we're going to look at some of the things that's in the scripture that God, you know, that Paul used. That's in here. Now, you got to remember, in the book, in the Old Testament, the first 5 books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they were written by Moses. And Moses got the inspiration from God. So like we said earlier, you could look at this. God gave inspiration for Moses to write the first 5 books in the Bible. And now Paul, many, 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 many years, is using what Moses wrote to to be an example for the Corinthians and everything that Paul is telling them. We learn and know from the Bible that he's also speaking to us. So he said, these are the things for our example. You see, number one, he said, well, verse 7, he said, neither be ye idolatrous. Idolatrous. Idolaters. As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down and ate and drink and rose up and played. Do that sound like us? In this wicked world we living in, everybody is going on about their business. They eating and they drinking and they raise up. And the scripture says, for those who got their Bible, they rise up to play. You see, here he give us examples of what the people were doing after seeing that all that God has done and what God was doing and what he was even still promising to do. As I said earlier, the rock represents Jesus. What they did, Paul telling them, when he talk about idolatrous, what that mean? They made a golden calf to worship. Idolatry is when you worship another gods. Not only did they worship another god, they made a golden calf to worship. And watch this. They used the gold that God had provided to them when they exited Egypt. The story of Egypt go like this. When they got ready to leave out of Egypt, because you see, God don't never send you nowhere empty-handed. Come on now. God told the people, the Israelites, y'all, when he got the people in Egypt to recognize that he wasn't to be played with, and they decided after all of the firstborns were killed that the king decided that he was going to let them go. So God told the Israelites, y'all go to anybody and ask them for anything. Go to them Egyptians and ask them for anything you want, and they're going to give you. So they gave them a lot of gold and diamonds and silver, and they left out there full-handed, not empty-handed. God sent them out full-hand. And then they had the audacity to take the gold and stuff that they had gotten as a gift from God and turn around and make a golden calf and worship it. You see, they were still went about their business, doing anything that was pleasing in their own eyes. Isn't that what's happening today? We are experiencing the provision that God is supplying to us, for us, and handling them as we please. You know, everything belongs to God. Whatever God allows you to have, he's allowing you to have it, and you should become a steward. You see, everything that God has given us, we have to evaluate ourselves and watch and see how we're handling what God has given us. That's what happened to the Israelites. They took what God had given them and made a golden calf. You might not be making a golden calf, but you might be, you know, tricking off what God has given you, and you still get in a bad way, and then you wonder why you in this way. That's self-inflicted, y'all. That's not God. But we experiencing all the provision that God is supplying for us, and we handling them as we please, not being good students, and we continue to disobey. One of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. If we look at the 8th verse, they say, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Okay, look like God is pumping up the heat, pumping up the volume. You see, what they was doing with this and the example that Paul has given us, they had begun to worship Baal, B-A-L, B-A-A-L, Baal. Baal was a god of the Moabites and the Gentiles and other nations, that was their god, and they worshiped Baal. You see, they worshiped Baal and even other gods, and they engaged in sexual immorality with the Moabite women. And you see, the Moabite women was a woman, women of another nation. They didn't serve God. They weren't Jews. You know, they probably was Gentiles, and you know, the Jews and the Gentiles at that time wasn't supposed to mix. And I'm gonna give you an example. The you know, when with segregation, black and white, and long time ago, you know, they say it, the white people, most of the men, well, and women too, whatever, said that blacks shouldn't marry whites, and there was a lot of controversy about it. And if a black man was caught with a white woman, he was killed. And they was justifying it because they said that the word of God said you should marry your own kind. But God, you know, used what he wanted when he wanted. But God also said he's no respecter person. But they used, that's an example of people using what they want and making it be such a strong fight, and then they do everything else they want in the name of God. But they were marrying the Moabite women. The reason God didn't want them with the Moabite women, not that he thought they was better or not that they thought the Moabites was less, but he knew the Moabite women was worshiping the god Baal. And their god Baal, and they worship all kind of gods, the god of the moon, the god of the sun. They had a sexual god, Diana, and they worship him, and that's where worship her, and that's where all of the sexual immorality was coming from. So God didn't want them to be with them, and he guarded them against being with them because he knew once you start that mixing, it would be a great possibility that they could get you to switch over to their way. And that's what happened. And that's why God didn't want the mixing, not because they was better or they was good or it was their culture was different. Their religions were different. And most of all, their gods were different. You know, God is a merciful God, and he's loving, but he's not to be played with. Enough is enough. And in the scripture I read up above that, you saw that 320,000 were killed that day. That day, God got tired. I'm giving y'all this because we can't keep playing with God and expect everything to be honky-dory. That day, he killed 23,000 for those acts right there, the fornication and the Moabite women and stuff. He was just tired. And for your information, you can read Numbers 25 and 4. Well, I'll read that one, but I gave you some more to read. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be returned away from Israel. He said, now that's the punishment, and after you do that, I'm going to turn my anger away, and we'll be all right. But he was showing them, I'm not to be played with. And if you read Numbers, the book of Numbers 25-9, you can see that whole story for that. And this is what Paul was using to give the Corinthians now, so we have to keep that in mind. And just as well as he was giving it to Corinthians, he was giving it to us. So just like we saw the wrath of God there, that just should let us know that God is not to be played with. And if we look at 9, they say, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. You who have your Bible, I'm not making it up, it's in the Bible. You see, they were complaining about the food God was supplying them as a part of, and they kept putting him to the test. Yeah, you gave me this, but I want this. Now you gave me that, now you go do this. Yeah, you didn't jump, but I want you to jump higher. They was just trying to trick, you know, making God out of trick and demanding him to just keep on and putting him to the test to see how far they could go. And what he did, he allowed serpents to bite them and destroy them. If you read Numbers 21:5-6, you'll see that story. And if we get to the 10th, neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Come on now. The people was complaining against Moses and Aaron, and God caused a plague to take the life of many of the Israelites. You know, we start to mumble and grumble when our attention shifts from what we have to what we don't have. I'm going to read that again. We start to grumble when our attention shifts from what we have to what we don't have. You know, we could think about what we have, but seem like that don't give a big hallelujah and praise all the time. But when we think about what we don't have, we grumble. First of all, and the blame game got to come in, because you got to say why you don't have it's someone else's fault. You know, it's the problem that they did this in the world, in the city. They're keeping us down, and because we this. And, you know, it could go on and on. The Israelites didn't seem to notice what God was doing for them, setting them free. He made them a nation. He gave them the new promised land, because they were so wrapped up in what they felt God wasn't doing for them. They kept preparing it to what they had left behind. Now, how you like this? They cried to God for all of those years when they was in slavery. God rose up Moses to be the one to deliver them, because he kept hearing the cries of the people. They cried all of those years, save us, take us out of slavery. And yet here now they're complaining, and they keep comparing what they were going through right then with what they have left behind. You see, you got to watch this. Living in the past can cause you your future. God gave them quails for meat, because they wanted meat at this time. But he gave debt to the complainers. And that's the book, the Numbers 11 chapter. And we go into our last few verses. Now all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, which means instructions and warning, upon whom the end of the worlds are to come. And 12 say, therefore let him that think he stand take heed lest he fall. What that is, if you got the big head, don't think you're all of that in a bowl of chips. Therefore, let him that think he stand take heed lest he fall. And this verse here is so excellent, and we should hold on to it. And 13 says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What they saying? God said there's no temptation that can come your way, or nothing that can happen to you that has already haven't already happened. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, you go through some things in your life and you think it's the worst thing in the world, and, you know, you hold your head down and you can't get from point A to point B because this is going on in your life and it's so bad. Nothing that can go on in your life haven't happened to someone else. There's a lot of time people quote this scripture, God put no more on you than you could bear. That's not really in the Bible, but this scripture here is what they use for that. God said, nothing that can happen to you has not already happened to somebody. And he will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation, also always give you a way to escape. Now, that's the word of God. If that's the word of God, it's found in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse. If you believe it, then you should have some new revelation. You should be able to rest in that word. You see, this scripture teaches us a powerful lesson. If we belong to God, he will not allow any difficulties to come in our lives that we are not capable of bearing. So anything that comes your way, anything that tempts us, any tragedy that befalls upon us, we are capable of overcoming it and achieving spiritual victory. Now, let me tell you this so you won't get confused. You see, when God gives you a way to escape, or when God decides to deliver you, it might not be the deliverance that you were looking for. It might not be the way that you wanted it to be. But you see, God is so awesome, and God is so knowing, and God knows everything till he know how to give you what you want, and not always the way you want it. So just because it may not come the way you want it, you could sit back and figure God didn't do it, but that didn't mean he didn't do it. Because you see, when we get on the other side and get to ask God some questions, and maybe you might ask God why you did thus or so, or why you, he said, I took care of business. I did it. You just didn't recognize it. God is faithful. God is delivering daily. But we have to be paying attention, because sometimes we have our sights so set on so far out there on what we don't have, we can't see what we have. You see, they say, there's a scripture say, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and entice. That's in James 1:14. You see, we must be careful never to make excuses, especially if they are a result of our own wrongdoing. Take your lick, learn from it, and do better, and you're going to be all right. If you really look back over your life, and you might have had 10 things going on wrong in your life, and you took a long time to get that wrong, you know, for so many years of dealing in wrong, but look when you got it right. Look how fast you got straight compared to how long you was wrong or down. That's the way God works it. This, I'm not telling you that God give a way to escape and all of that and it's going to be so easy. On the contrary, the fact that we need a way to escape indicates that God sometimes allow difficult trials, tribulation, and even sometimes a test to come in our lives. God lets us know that any temptation that comes our way has already been tempted unto man. See, God done tried it and tested it. So he know ain't no temptation could come that could take you out. Come on now. They say whatever temptation come to you, it has already been tempted to man. You see, you know, sometimes people will lose a loved one and they blame God. Your finances are low. You lose your job. Your marriage is broken. And your children are just buck wild and out of control. Someone has and is now going through the same thing because there's nothing new under the sun. Your marriage didn't work. Mine didn't either. You know, you having problems. I got them too. So don't ask the question, why me? And you'll get the answer. Why not you? And if not you, then who? Remember, God is in control and he's faithful. And I'm going to tell you this. There are three questions that I've learned in life that if you want to have joy and be happy, never ask yourself these questions. If I would have, could have, should have. You see, that take us back. And it takes us back far and deep. Because you didn't. It would have been different if you would have, you could have, you should have. You probably could have, but you didn't. You should have, but you didn't. You would have, but you didn't. And now where we at? Where we at right now is where we at. Work with what's in your hand now. Sometimes we may not believe that we can overcome. We may doubt our own strength. And we may even feel we failed. We may feel like we failed the test. But trusting God means that God knows best. We are not afforded the privilege to know everything anyway. And we don't really know how much we really could bear. You see, some people give up before they get broken. You don't know how much you could bear. God created you. He made you. He put what's in you. He know how much you could bear. You don't sometimes. And as I close tonight, I'm going to tell you this. What does it mean to overcome trials? It means that trials do not overcome our faith or our position as a child of God. Trials and tribulation do not erase your faith, and it do not put you out of position with God. If that's the case, then hallelujah. We have to stop sweating the small stuff. We have to realize your trial, your tribulation, your adversities, and your tests does not take away your faith, and it don't remove you. It don't move you out of position as a child of God. And we will come through the trials intact if we trust and have faith. You know, our eternal destiny is not in danger with trials. And it can't take away our salvation. And I could tell you a story about that. I'm going to give you the short version. When I was in my second marriage and being a woman and having all of these emotions, you know, and stuff like that, you know, it just get to be overwhelming. And I was, you know, praying and, you know, questioning God. You know, first of all, I told God I prayed for him and why God didn't change him. God said, if I change him to what they want, then how would the people, what would the person be? So I got that. You know, God don't go around. I pray for God to change somebody who don't want to be prayed. Okay, I got that. And then I was praying and I was, you know, feeling kind of funny way. And the Holy Ghost came and told me, he said, none of this that's going on, none of this have nothing to do with your salvation. He literally told me that. And I understood it. And that's why I could say it tonight. Your shortcomings, your failures, your disappointments, it does not erase your salvation. It don't put you out of position as a child of God. So that's how you can walk through your trials. And then God is going to give you the way to escape. Come on now, y'all. You see, too many times we look at the temporal things and base our all in it. But God is most concerned with our eternal. And I'm going to close with this. Satan has no authority over the believers in Christ. Just say that point. And it is not as personal as you think, these things that you're going through. You take it personal, you're going to be wiped out. It's not as personal as you think. And stop having all those pity parties. Stop speaking to God about how hard your temptations are, but start speaking to your temptations about how big your God is. And that's our lesson for tonight. I pray that you were blessed. We have 7 minutes left before the 9:30 hour. If anyone have a prayer request, if anyone would like to pray, if anyone would like to give words of encouragement, if anyone would like to make some comments on the lesson, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 985-774. Your mic is now open.
Hi, Sister Diane. No, I just wanted to say sometimes my trials are so difficult and heavy that I have to, instead of looking through my eyes, I have to look through spiritual eyes just to get through them. And then at that time, then I can realize that that maybe God's testing me, or I'm going through this to help other people and to help myself too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, I mean, I really enjoyed your lesson, and I'll be missing you for the next two Wednesdays. But I'd like to invite anybody to, since you're having surgery on the 6th, to fast. Even if it's just missing one meal a day. But when you miss that meal, I would like for people to pray on your behalf also, and just to pray to God, to Jesus, and to the Holy Ghost. And I'd like everybody to join in to do that, because you're a great teacher, and I enjoy you so, so much. And I just hope that we can all join in to do a fast, even if it's just missing one meal a day or giving up something that you really, really enjoy. And instead of doing that, put your mind, your eyes into the book, into the word, and also to give prayer to you in your surgery. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Well, Sister Diane, I just want to say thank you so much for thinking about me in that way. My surgery is going to – I go to the hospital. I get admitted in the hospital on the 6th, but I have 2 days of pre-op. I think that's what they call it. And I think my surgery is going to be on the morning of the 8th.
Okay.
And I'll be returning back on the 15th if the Lord say the same. But I thank you so much for thinking of me that way and bringing that to the brothers and sisters, because we are a family. And
yeah,
I'm just thankful. I just thank God for you, and I just thank you.
I think we all thank you, and we thank God for him giving you so much knowledge.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And for those who would like to do what she do, you know, you guys could do it, and we'll meet back again, and I'm going to just be giving you the praise report. I'm going to be doing the hallelujah dance. I'm doing it now already, you see, because I'm not waiting until after the surgery. I could give you the praise report right now, you see, because God has already been working it out for my good. Because, you see, he knew July the 8th in 2015 that I had to have surgery, and he done opened up the pad, and he done opened up the ways, and he done sent me to Washington, D.C., and he got the doctor that's known for this type of surgery. He put him in my pad, and he going, oh, I'm praise report. That's all I could tell y'all. And I can't wait to come back to show you the mighty hand of God. You know, so I thank you so much, and I praise God for you, and I love y'all, and I'm be so glad when I get back. Thank you so much, Sister Diane. I have another caller. Caller, your number is 985-224. Your mic is open.
Sister Di, again, I want to thank you for feeding us every Wednesday night with the Word of God. We have been, still are, and will continue praying and thanking God in advance, because God revealed whatever you have so that he could heal it. And we wait with anticipation for your return. We are praising God with you, because we know it's already done. We love you, and we're praying God's blessing on you. And we look forward to you coming back and giving us that praise report, Di. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, spiritual mother. I have a spiritual mother and a spiritual father now. God just give us all kind of things. I'm big and grown, and I just got that. Mr. Paul Brown is my spiritual father that I learned from his examples, and Sister Joyce Brown, I learned from her example of being man and woman, and you know, if I get a husband, I probably act like them. They've been married 56 years, And, you know, if I get married, I'll try to mock them. See, I can learn from the examples and, you know, and in raising my grandson. I can learn from the examples and going to church and loving God. I can learn from the examples and being praying people. I learned from the examples. And that was the lesson was about. And that's what Ms. Brown is. I watch you. And I, since I met you, I learned things from you. Sometimes I learned in the beginning what to say and what not to say. I learned from you. You know, I got a little more humble watching your walk. You know, I start not speaking the way I used to speak, watching your talk. So, you know, they say people won't read the Bible, but they'll read you. And all of us have to be in position so we don't know who's reading us and we don't know what God has given us, what he wants for somebody else. So, again, I say thank you. Thank you so much. And you don't know, you know, the blessings you have been in my life. And Sister Pauline, she's on the line. She's another one. You know, I watch these women of God when I came into their presence, I think 6 or 7 years ago when I joined the church that they was there. I watched them women and Sister Elise. You know, there was 3 women and they ain't that much older than me. They just think I'm a little girl. But they were 3 women that I watched and I held on to and I'm still holding on to because I saw something there that could help me and I never let it go. And I love each and every one of you and glory be to God, and thank you, guys, and I love you, and I came, well, I'll see y'all Sunday at church. And for Sister McBride, Diane McBride, the church that I go to is Greater Liberty Baptist Church, because one time you had asked that, and we got off the subject, but I go to Greater Liberty Baptist Church, and the address is 1230 Desire Street. It's right off of St. Claude Avenue. You know, you turn, if you're coming from the parish on St. Claude, you get to Desire, you make a right, it's in the second block. And service start at 9, Sunday school start at 8, but that's the church that I go to. I remember you had asked that, and I wasn't trying to withhold information, but I gave it to you now. I love each and every one of you, and I thank God for each and every one of you, and I thank you. And if there's any more questions or concerns, somebody would like to pray and lead us out. If not, it's 9:32. I always try to finish at 9:30. So I'm going to go ahead and just do a benediction tonight. And I'm going to say that may the Lord watch between thee and me while we absent one from another. God, allow your mercy and the grace to just keep us together, dear God. We are a family. We explore your word together every Wednesday. We are praying for one another, dear God. We are caring for one another, and we are loving on one another. I thank you, dear God, for each and every one that came, and I especially thank the callers that made the statements because that just, you know, that just touched me, and I am so grateful, and I know that my you know, sometimes you have to wonder if I'm doing it right. You know, if I'm doing anything right, if I'm making any kind of difference, you know, you ask yourself that, you know. But I'm just tonight, I can say thank you, and I understand, and God wanted me to hear this because maybe he knew how I was feeling. But to each and every one of them, each and every one of y'all, what I can tell you is the growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now and forevermore. Amen, and thank God. And that's going to end our program for tonight. I got so right in the lesson. I just was so caught up. I didn't play a song. And I didn't do that, but I'll go ahead and play a record tonight. And wait, I have another caller. Caller, your number is 504-621-9800. Your mic is open and you could speak. Hello.
Yes,
I can.
How are you?
How you doing? I'm fine.
Okay. The button was accidentally pushed, but I just wanted to say that I hope you have a good surgery. And we'll see you soon.
Sure.
Yeah.
I thank you so much, Monica. That's Monica, my niece. She's calling from California. She listened to the program on Wednesday night. God is truly doing a thing with his people. He's gathering us up one with another. And I thank you for the words of encouragement, Monica, and I hope to see you soon. If God say the same. So if that's it for tonight, no other callers would like to speak. We done did the benediction. I always like to do the benediction before you start hanging up, because there's prayers, there's blessings in the benediction. So I'm going to take and play this song, and who want to listen to it, you can listen to it, and it'll be all good.
Higher, higher if you hold on.
Hallelujah. And that's our program for tonight. I pray that God be with you until we meet again, and that each one of you receive everything. I pray that God be with you until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Good night.